This is our brother, Mr. Robin McKeown.
Now let us read together, first of all, please, in the Gospel by Luke in chapter 15. The Gospel of Luke in chapter 15. And verse number 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Now further down, please, to verse number 25. Verse number 25. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, that's his father's house, he heard music and dancing. Now the Gospel of John, please, chapter 14. And verse 1. John 14 and verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now that will suffice for our reading, and may God bless it to each of our hearts. Now really, what I would like us maybe just to learn some lessons, and I hope they'll be precious lessons. I want us to think this evening for a little while of two sons. Each of them lived in his father's house, and each of them left his father's house and took a long journey. And after a period of absence, each of them returned to his father's house. One left his father's house on earth and took his journey into a far country. The other, thank God, left the Father's house on high and took a longer journey and came down to earth. I want us just to pick up some lessons that might help us. The first thing I want us to think about is this. This son who left his Father's house on earth. Now, we all know he went. Oh, he went all right. But he was never sent. He was never sent. There was no way when he reached the far country he could gather the people together and tell them, wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business. The Father never sent him. He went, but he was never sent. The one who left the Father's house on high, well, he went because he was sent. He went because he was sent. And time and again he told us, as he was here on earth, about how he was sent. In the Gospel of John, chapter 6, 7 and 8, 16 times you'll read that he was sent. That he was sent. You remember how Paul wrote in the Galatians in 4 and 4, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son. You see, he went because he was sent. You remember Romans 8 and 3, what the law could not do and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son. Thank God for that. He went because he was sent. And you remember that prayer in John 17 and verse number 18, he could speak to the Father and say, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. He went because he was sent. And there's something else I would like you to notice about these two sons. Mind you, it's all going to be contrast. I know we maybe drew a little parallel at the beginning in that each lived in his father's house and each left his father's house and each took a long journey and each went back to the father's house. But it's really all contrast after that. You know why that the prodigal left home, don't you? He left home to practice sin. There's not a shadow of a doubt about that. He probably found the parameters of the father's house much too restrictive. He just left home to practice sin. He just wasted his substance with riotous living. He couldn't wait to get away from the father's house so he could practice sin. Beloved saints of God, the one who came from the Father's house on high, listen to the language of Scripture, Hebrews 9:26. Now, once in the end of the age, he appeared to put away sin. You see, if the prodigal left the Father's house to practice sin, the son who came from the Father's house on high, I'm glad he came. He came to put away sin. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away. You see, his whole reason for leaving the Father's house was to put away sin. The other boy left the Father's house to get practicing. And the one who came from the Father's house on high, he came to put it away. Thank God for that. I think of 1 John 3:5. He was manifested to take away our sin. And in him is no sin. To take away our sins. And in him is no sin. You see the contrasting attitude towards sin of these two sons. Beloved saints of God, we need to be clear concerning the one who came from the Father's house on high. In him is no sin. He's the one who, according to 1 Peter 2:22, he's the one who did no sin. He's the one who, according to 2 Corinthians 5:21, he knew no sin. His absolute impeccability. And yet he left the Father's house to deal with sin. Oh, let us never ever, beloved saints of God, limit the vastness of his work upon the cross. Some seem to struggle with the idea that he died for all. I don't. Let hampered minds their thoughts expand, nor on such narrow footing stand. The mighty work of Jesus scan. He tasted death for every man. He hath for all atonement made. For all mankind the ransom paid. Thank God we have heard today of the work of God in distant lands. Do you know why? There would have been no work at all if he hadn't left the Father's house to put away sin. You know, when I heard Mr. Thompson here give his report this morning, it took me back 35 years. He was preaching one Sunday night, the Sunday night of the 5th week of gospel meetings. I refused to go to those meetings. And God spoke to me when I was far from home, aye, and further from God. I went to the Friday night of the 4th week, wanting to be saved, to the meeting on the Friday night of the 4th week. The saved as Mr. Thompson, Brother Jack Lennox, opened that meeting, and Mr. Thompson took the latter part. Said, young man, when are you going to waken up and put your trust in Christ? That's the man who left the Father's house to put away sin. Thank God, you know, that was 35 years ago. He's sweeter to me today than ever. He's the altogether lovely one, the one who left the Father's house to put away sin. I want you to notice something else. You see, the prodigal, he just didn't leave the Father's house to practice sin, you know. Oh no, he had more in his mind. He left the Father's house to do his own will. Would you like to have been the man or the woman who would have spoken to him the day he swept out of the gates of his father's house with all his possessions? Said, young man, you could become a cropper. You're making a mistake. He wouldn't have listened to you. He was going to do his own will. His own will. You see, the one who came from the Father's house on high, he came to do the Father's will. He came to do his... You see, the prodigal, the last thing in his mind was doing his Father's will. That was far. He was going to do his own will. Just right over him as he leaves home. Self will. He was leaving to do his own will. But the one who left the Father's house on high, do you know what he said? I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. You see, the Father sent him, and he came to do the Father's will. I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father that sent me. John 5 and 30. He said in John 6 and 38, I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. You see, he came from the Father's house to do the Father's will. The prodigal left the Father's house to do his own will. Let me ask you a question tonight. Whose will are you doing? Which of these sons are we like? Are we like the one who does his own will? Or the one who left the Father's house to do the Father's will? Oh, I think of the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Luke tells us he kneeled down and prayed. Mark tells us he fell on the ground. Matthew tells us he fell on his face. What is it? What is the struggle? Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass away from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. You see, his whole movement on earth had to do with the Father's will. He came from the Father's house to do the Father's will. I think of a man on the Damascus Road. I'll tell you, if anybody was self-willed, he was. But there came a moment, verse 6 of Acts 9, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What wilt thou have me to do? This is really wishing to honor the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. It's what wilt thou have me to do? You know, Paul wrote to the Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, and he says this, God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We've been hearing already today from Romans 12 and verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed unto this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, brethren and sisters, we've been bought with a price, and self-will should be finished forever. That's exactly what the apostle meant when he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, Calvary is the end to self-will for every child of God. He left the Father's house to do the Father's will. You might say tonight, how would I know the Father's will? How would I know God's will? They don't think I've been flippant when I say this. There's a sense in which it's easy. See what he means? John 7 and 17 says, He that willeth, it means he that is willing to do his will, shall know the doctrine. Don't say, my friend, I don't know whether I should be baptized or not, if you're truly born again and your life has changed and there's evidence. What do you mean you don't? God's word. If you're willing to do His will, you'll know the teaching. Self-will. My blessed Lord, the Son of the Father came from the Father's house to do the Father's will. But I want you to notice something more. You see the prodigal when he left home. Oh, you know why he left home, don't you? I feel I know why I left home, because I feel, I can recall the day there was a strong prodigal spirit in me. He didn't only leave home to practice sin and do his own will. He left home, to put it another way, he left the Father's house to please himself. To please himself. But the Son who came from the Father's house on high, well, he just came to please the Father. See what he says in John 8:29. The Father hath not left me alone, because I do always those things that please him. He left the Father's house to please his Father. That's why he came. The prodigal left the Father's house to please himself. I do always those things that please him. Well, you see, sometimes it's maybe not hard to do the things that please him, but when it's costly to yourself, are you willing to do the things that please him? You know one good thing about conference gatherings like this? I heard from one of our speakers this afternoon about impressions being made in Easter conference gatherings. I had that experience too. Remember sitting up about the equivalent of up there, the Grosvenor Hall in Belfast, and I heard Mr. Thompson give a report of those meetings at which I and some others in my family got saved, including my father. Deep impressions were made in me. Young brother, young sister, don't you waste your life. There are too many doing it. Pleasing God will be costly, but pay the price. There are dividends at the end, and it's for the glory of God in any case. My blessed Lord left the Father's house on high to please the Father. Do you remember when he came up out of the waters of baptism? The heavens were opened and a voice, and what did the voice say? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Heaven's corroborating, if I may use that term. The testimony of our blessed Lord. I do always those things that please him. Again, in the Mount of Transfiguration, out of the cloud, the voice was heard. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You see, the father of the prodigal, he never got 1 hour's pleasure from that son away from home. I'd like to stay with that, but we don't really have time. Then we come to a sort of a sad tale about the prodigal. See, what you notice about the prodigal? Well, really, he never dreamed things would turn out the way they turned out. You see, the sinner never does. Events just overtook him. It just overtook him. He went out with the reins in his hand, and he was just going to have his hand, as it were, on the tiller, and he was going to control everything. He was going to be master of his own destiny. But I tell you one thing, events overtook him. He wasn't long till he was going from one crisis to another. See, the one who came from the Father's house on high, events never overtook him. Ah, no, they never overtook him. Do you remember in John chapter 12, when he was anointed by Mary, and verse 7, the Lord said, let her alone. She hath done what she could. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. He's talking about his burial. That's never overtook him. He knew all that lay before him. Down in verse 32 and 33 of that chapter, I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Verse 33, this speaking, signifying what death he should die. He was able to tell him not only he was going to die, he was able to tell him how he was going to die. Events never overtook the Son who came from the Father's house. In John 13 and 11, it says he knew. Oh yes, he knew who it was that should betray him. That's never, you know, as good as a way of doing his horrible conspiratorial work. The master knew all about it. Events never overtook. He knew who should betray him. And as he goes to go over the brook Kidron and into the Garden of Gethsemane, in John 18 and 4 we read, Jesus knowing all things that should come upon him, events never overtook him. Oh, that son who was never sent, who left the Father's house on earth, he just stumbled from one crisis to the next. Did you know even on the cross, events didn't overtake him, and I speak tenderly about this. I go to John 19, is it verse 28? Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, he knew it all. Nothing took him by surprise. Events never overtook him. After all, he came to put away sin. And when he was on the cross, he knew the work was done. Events never overtook him. But I want you to know something else. We look again at the prodigal and his story just goes from bad to worse. See what happened to him? He lost everything he had. Do you remember when he's leaving home? Not many days after, the younger son gathered all. I take it he took. Oh, I don't know how many wagons he had. He certainly seemed to take a lot with him. He gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And I don't know what some of you dear brethren, we shouldn't always refer to the brethren behind us, you know, dear brethren indeed, and sisters who read their Bible. I don't know what you think, but I suspect the prodigal was away for a number of years. Now, I partly based that on verse 26 of Luke 15, but you can look at that sometime again. But, you know, he went away, and he seemed to go out full, but he just lost everything. He lost it all. See, the one who came from the Father's house on high, he lost nothing. You know, you read in John 3 and 35, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. Did he lose any of it? He lost nothing. You know what he says and prays in John 17 and verse 12? Those whom thou givest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. See, the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Judas wasn't real. We don't need to go into that. He says none of them is lost. He lost nothing. I come into chapter 18 of John and verse 9. Oh, what does he say? Those whom thou givest me, have I lost none? Lost none. He lost nothing. Lost nothing. He says of the sheep, nobody can pluck them out of my hand. He lost nothing. John tells us something that Matthew, Mark, and Luke don't tell us in the feeding of the 5,000 beside women and children. The only miracle that is given by all four gospel records. Here's what John tells us. I think it's beautiful. The words of the Lord Jesus. Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. He lost nothing. And beloved child of God, you're here tonight and you're saved. You cannot be lost. You know why? Because he never lost anyone yet. The prodigal lost everything. Again, I'd like to stay with that, but I want to move on. I'll tell you what I want you to notice now. And I hope these people who read their Bibles will agree with me. And I'll tell you what I believe with all my heart, and then I'll give you my reason for saying it. I think the prodigal, all the time he was away, he was never in touch with home. He was incommunicado. He was never in touch with home. You say, how do you know that? Well, the Bible says he was dead, and dead people don't communicate. And he was lost. Well, if he was in touch with home, would you say he was lost? You see, all those years, if they were years, he was never in touch with the Father. Would you see the one who came from the Father's house on high? Do you know what I'm going to tell you? And I'll prove it from the Bible. He was always in touch with the Father. He left the Father's house on high, but he was always in touch with home. He says in John 11:41, at the grave of Lazarus' father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. He was in touch with the Father. And then he says, I knew that thou always, he must have been always in touch with the Father. Just keeping him, because he was going home. He was going home. He was going home. And he kept him. Do you remember in Luke chapter 6, is it verse 12? In those days, he went up into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. A whole night in touch with the Father. A whole night in touch with home. The one who came from the Father's house. Now I know from John 1, you don't think I don't know it, in chapter 1 and verse 18, I know he was ever in the bosom of the Father, but that's not the point. That's not the point. He went up into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. A whole night in touch with home. Do you remember when he sent away the multitudes after the miracle we've already referred to according to Matthew's record, chapter 14 and verse number 23? Sent them away, went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. He went up into a mountain, that's elevation, apart, that's separation, to pray, that's supplication. And when the evening was come, that's continuation. He was there alone, that's isolation. Beloved saints of God, now practically, we're going home, aren't we? We're maybe far nearer than we think. Are you keeping in touch with home? Paul wrote to the Ephesians, and it is evident he meant he expected them to be keeping in touch with home and the Father's house. He said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Ephesians 6:18. You see, God's people were traveling in an alien world and were going home, and we would need to keep in touch with home. Tell me this, were you in touch with home before you came away today? The Son who came from the Father's house on high, he was just in touch. In fact, he was in touch with home every day. I hope you believe that. The Bible says he was. Isaiah 50 and verse 4. Morning by morning, I'm waiting at my name. Huh? In touch with. I would not dare to journey through this wide, wide world alone. He was constantly in touch with home. Paul wrote to the Romans, continuing instant, that is steadfastly in prayer. Chapter 12 and verse 12. Pray without ceasing, you Thessalonians. Chapter 5 and 17. You see, God means his people to keep in touch with home. The one who came from the Father's house on high was always in touch with home. Let me tell you something more. Well, to me at any rate, it's very precious concerning the Son who came from the Father's house on high. Sad in a way concerning the Son who left the Father's house on high. Did you know they both prayed before they went home? You didn't know that. Well, they did. Well, when we say the prodigal prayed, well, we could say he sort of practiced the prayer. Mind you, he was stricken. Oh, he was indeed. His sin and his guilt was getting to him. And his hunger as well. You know how he prayed? He practiced a wee prayer in the far country before he went home. You know what it was? Father, who he's mentioning the Father at last. I could have told you, there's no evidence whatever that the prodigal ever spoke of his father to the people of the far country. When he spoke, as he practiced that little prayer, he was speaking to himself. The crowds weren't with him then. He was at the swine troughs. You see the son who came from the father's house, and he seemed to spend nearly all his time speaking about his father. After all, the father sent him. He said in John 16:28, I came forth from the Father and I'm come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. It was all about the Father and pleasing the Father. So what was this wee practice of prayer? That was, now don't make me wrong, it was genuine. Father, I have sinned. Well, after all, that's why I left home, to get practicing sin. You see, if there's anybody here tonight unsaved, you remember this, be sure your sins will find you out. You need to be saved. And here's a man, and he left home to practice sin and just thought he would be totally in control. And there came a day when the very cry of his heart was, this was before he went home, Father, I have sinned. You see, the one who came from the Father's house on high, did you know he prayed before he went home as well? Didn't he? John 17:1, these words spake Jesus, and notice what it says, he lifted up his eyes to heaven. You see, he had come from heaven, and he kept in touch with heaven all the while. And he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father. And then down to verse 4, I have. The prodigal said, Father, I have sinned. But the one who came from the Father's house on high, he said, Father, I have glorified thee in the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. What a triumph, what a victory. Here we are tonight, and we stand tonight in all the triumphs of the crucified. Father, I have glorified thee. The prodigal shamed his father. But the one who came from the Father's house on high, he says, Father, I have glorified thee. I finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Ah, there was another one laying in a prison in Rome. And he knew he was going home as well. And what did he say? He said, I am now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. You see, he was like that son who came from the Father's house on high. Let me close with this. You remember what else the prodigal said? He said, I am no more worthy to call thy son. I suppose the antithesis of that would be for the son who came from the Father's house on high to say, I am worthy. But of course, he didn't do that, and he wouldn't do that. He just went back to heaven, and he listened. And here's what he heard. And you saw. And what were they saying? Thou art worthy. Ah, yes, thou art worthy. The prodigal says, I'm no more worthy. And the Lord Jesus went home to heaven and he listened to the chorus of heaven. You know what I'm going to tell you? I hope you don't disagree with me. I like to sing that on earth. I have a song I love to sing since I have been with you. I'll join with the psalmist. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto God. Sure, it'll get sweeter when we get home to glory. I'll not dispute that with you. But brother and sister, learn to sing the song now. That was what our opening hymn was tonight, really, wasn't it? Thou art worthy. You're afraid of it. Thou art worthy. May God bless his word to each heart.